Welcome back to the Deep Dive. So we have a fascinating puzzle on the table today. It's a problem that it sounds like a good problem to have until you're the one who has to solve it. It's the too much of a good thing problem.
Which in the business world usually means you have inventory, you just can't move.
Exactly. So imagine you're a software company. You haven't just built one app. You've built a massive suite of tools. You've got screen recorders, PDF editors, mind mapping software, AI photo enhancers. The engineering is done. The products work.
Yeah.
But we live in an economy of absolute content saturation.
Right. I mean, everyone is shouting and noise floor is just incredibly high.
So the question becomes, how do you tell the world about all of these tools at the same time without, you know, going bankrupt trying to market them?
It is the classic dilemma of scale. You have the inventory, but do you have the voice?
To answer that, we're running a bit of a strategic simulation today. We're not just reviewing a product. We're kind of mashing two different entities together to see what happens.
I love a good hypothetical. Who are our subjects?
Right. Subject A is a PowerSoft. They're a veteran in the software space, founded way back in 2008. They have over 30 million users and a huge library. I'm talking tools like a Power Arby's, Light PDF, GitMind, BKut. They cover pretty much everything from multimedia creation to utility software.
A very robust portfolio. But from a marketing perspective, that diversity is actually a nightmare.
Precisely. And that brings us to subject B, the Auto Content API. This is a new industrial engine for content, is what they call it. The source material describes it as an enterprise alternative to Google's Notebook LM API. It claims it can turn raw text and URLs into podcasts, videos, and articles all automatically.
So the mission for this deep dive is to explore exactly how a company with a PowerSoft's complex portfolio could deploy this API to fundamentally alter their economics. We're looking at a shift from manual content creation to what the sources call automated transformation.
Let's start with the landscape, because I think people really underestimate how hard it is to market a broad portfolio. I spent some time digging through a PowerSoft site, and the sheer variety is just wild. They have desktop tools like a power mirror for casting your phone to your PC. They have online tools like Pickwish, which is an AI photo editor. They even have these super specific utilities like an HEIC converter.
And that is where the trouble begins. In the, let's call it the traditional marketing model, every single one of those products needs its own identity. If you want to market a power mirror, Pickwish, and the HEIC converter effectively, you can't just have one generic PowerSoft ad.
No, you need a distinct strategy for each. You need to be on tech blogs for the screen recorder, probably on TikTok for the photo editor, and, I don't know, Stack Overflow for the utilities.
And the sources break down what that actually requires. To do that manually, for each product, you typically need four distinct production pipelines. You need editorial for the blogs, audio for podcasts, video for YouTube, and a social team for all the clips.
And that brings us to the cost reality provided in the auto content data. This was shocking to me. They estimate a single manually produced podcast episode, just one, costs between $100 and $15,000, depending on how pro you go.
And video is even worse. A professional short-form video, you're looking at $3,000 to $10,000 per project if you're hiring agencies, actors, editors, the works.
So do the math. Ideally, you'd want a video for every single product a PowerSoft has. But producing high-end content for dozens of products manually, it's mathematically impossible. You burn through your annual budget before you even got through half the catalog.
Which brings us to the pivot point. The philosophy behind the Auto Content API is decoupling ideation from production.
Explain that. What does decoupling ideation actually mean in practice?
Well, it argues that the bottleneck isn't the ideas. A PowerSoft has the software, they have the manuals, they know what their tools do. The idea exists. The bottleneck is purely the labor required to transform that knowledge into media. The API treats content as a data transformation task, not a creative art project.
Okay, let's unpack this with a real-world example, because data transformation sounds a little abstract.
Mm-hmm.
I want to look at a specific section of a PowerSoft's business, customer support.
Ah, a goldmine of dormant data.
Seriously, I'm looking at their site, and they have these massive text-based manuals. How to use Video Converter Studio, how to edit with a Power PDF. It's useful information, but it is so dry, it's just walls of text.
And let's be honest, in 2024, if you're stuck using a piece of software, do you want to read a 2,000-word manual?
Absolutely not. I want to watch a 20-second video that shows me which button to click.
Exactly. This is where the Auto Content API's explainer video endpoint comes into play. The source material details how this works. You can feed the API a URL, say, the help page, for how to schedule a recording in a PowerAce, and it creates a video.
But how? Is it just reading the text over a slideshow?
No, it's much more sophisticated. It crawls the text to understand the steps. Then it uses AI avatars and synthesized voices to present the information. It generates a 60 to 90 second horizontal video that looks like a human explaining the software.
So a PowerSoft could automatically generate a video tutorial for every single feature of a PowerRE.
How to record audio, how to set a timer, how to crop. Hundreds of videos, and they could do it without ever hiring an actor, setting up lights, or booking a studio.
That is the faceless advantage the sources mentioned. You don't need to worry about a presenter quitting or asking for a raise or having a bad hair day.
And the avatar is always consistent with the brand, but there's a secondary benefit here that's arguably even more important than just saving money on production.
You mean SEO?
Huge SEO implications. The data suggests that pages with video are 53 times more likely to rank on page one of Google.
53 times? That seems astronomically high. Why does video make that much of a difference?
It's all about dwell time. Google measures how long a user stays on a page. If a user lands on a text manual, gets bored, and clicks back in 3 seconds, that tells Google the page is bad. But if they stay for 90 seconds to watch a video,
that signals to Google that this is a high-quality resource. So by automating these videos, a PowerSoft isn't just helping the user, they're engineering their site to rank higher.
Precisely. And consider the customer support angle. If a user can watch a 60-second video explaining how to use the background eraser in their photo editor, they are far less likely to open a support ticket. You are reducing operational costs while improving the user experience.
It's a win-win. But here is where it gets really interesting for a company like a PowerSoft. I noticed on their About page that they serve users in over 100 countries. They've been around since 2008, so they have a global footprint.
Which usually introduces a massive friction point, localization.
Right. I've seen this before. A company has a great blog in English. But if they want to launch in Brazil or France or Germany, they need local teams. You need translators, you need voice actors for the videos. It's a logistical nightmare.
This is where the API's language capabilities change the game. The source material states AutoContent API supports over 50 languages, but it's not just translating text.
Walk us through the workflow. What does this look like in practice?
Okay, so imagine a PowerSoft has a successful English blog post about using GitMine for brainstorming. It's doing well in the US. They can ingest that URL into the API. The API can then instantly output a native language audio podcast and a video short in Spanish, German, French, and Chinese.
So one input, that English blog post, becomes 20 different assets across 5 different languages.
Exactly. And because it creates native audio and video, you are effectively multiplying your total addressable market, or TAM, overnight.
That is a huge shift. You don't need to hire a French marketing team just to test the French market.
No, you just run the API. It moves the constraint from how many people can we hire to how much server capacity do we have? You're unlocking your existing library for the rest of the world.
Okay, I want to pivot to something that's been blowing up lately. Audio. Everyone is talking about audio overviews and Google's Notebook LM.
Yes, the Notebook LM gap.
Right. And AutoContent markets itself explicitly as the enterprise alternative to that. We know a PowerSoft has all these different user bases. You've got the productivity nerds using a Power Manager and GitMind, and then you've got the creatives using BCut and PickWish.
And those are two very different audiences. They probably don't care about each other's tools.
Exactly. A graphic designer doesn't care about PDF compression.
Yeah.
So how does a PowerSoft use this API to, well, dominate the year?
The source suggests a concept called Always Interesting. Instead of one generic corporate podcast that, let's be honest, nobody listens to, a PowerSoft could launch niche podcasts for those specific user bases.
So micro podcast.
Think of them as vertical specific shows. Take GitMind and a Power Manager. Those are productivity tools. They could feed the API their blog posts on time management, mind mapping, and efficiency, and generate a daily or weekly productivity podcast.
Oh, I see. So it's not just, here's a software update. It's, here's how to be more productive, brought to you by a PowerSoft.
Precisely. And for the creatives. Take the tutorials and trends from PickWish and BCut topics like Video Editing Trends 2025 or AI and Photography, and generate a creative design podcast.
But here's the skepticism I always have with AI audio. Is it going to sound like a GPS reading a manual? because nobody's going to subscribe to that.
This is critical. The API doesn't just read text. It generates two-person dialogue, a host, and an expert, much like what we're doing right now.
It simulates a conversation.
Yes. It mimics the natural flow of a radio show. It adds banter. It adds pacing. It makes these technical topics sound lively, not like a text-to-speech engine droning on.
That's the bingeable factor. And technically, the API handles the distribution, too.
It does. It doesn't just make the MP3 file. It generates the RSS feed, the cover art, the metadata, and pushes it directly to Spotify and Apple Podcasts.
That's huge because looking at a PowerSoft site, I don't see a big podcasting presence. They have a blog, they have social, but audio seems like a blank map for them.
It allows them to have a presence on platforms where they currently have zero footprint. And they can do it on autopilot. They're capturing ear share while their competitors are still fighting for eye share.
Okay, so we've covered video support, global expansion, and podcasts. But let's talk about the engine that drives the internet, SEO. A PowerSoft has a lot of utility tools. Screen recorder, HEIC converter, PDF editor.
Those are fiercely competitive keywords.
It's a bloodbath on Google for those terms. Mm-hmm. And the usual strategy is something called programmatic SEO.
Right. For the listeners who don't know, programmatic SEO is when you use software to automatically generate thousands of landing pages. So you make a page for best screen recorder for gamers, best screen recorder for teachers, best screen recorder for accountants.
And usually those pages are 99% identical. It's just the headline that changes.
And there's a trap there. It's called thin content.
Thin content. Sounds like something Google hates.
They despise it. If Google sees you have 1,000 pages that are mostly identical text, they penalize you. They see it as spam. They will bury you in the search results.
So how does the Auto Content API fix that?
The source materials suggests a multimedia fix. The idea is to increase the information density of those pages. For every one of those landing pages, the API can generate a unique audio summary and a unique vertical video.
Wait, so the page for best screen recorder for gamers has a video specifically talking about gaming?
Yes. And the page for teachers has a video discussing classroom recording.
Even though the underlying software is the same.
The software is the same, but the context is unique. This creates mixed media on every single page. It signals to search engines that this is a unique, high-quality resource, not just a copy-paste job.
But we have to go back to the money, creating thousands of unique videos. That sounds expensive again.
This is the cost arbitrage. This is the economic unlock. If you were to try and make a unique video for a screen recorder for teachers manually, it might cost you $300. You would need thousands of teachers to download the software just to break even on that one video.
And for a niche keyword like that, you might only get 50 visitors a month. It's not worth it.
Exactly. But with the API, the source lists the cost at around 400 credits per video, which works out to roughly 4 euros on the business plan.
4 euros?
At 4 euros, you only need one or two conversions to break even.
That changes the math completely. You can target those tiny niche keywords, the long tail, that nobody else can afford to target.
Exactly. You can dominate the search terms that are too small for competitors to bother with, but collectively, if you have thousands of them, they add up to massive traffic.
It's death by 1,000 cuts for the competition.
Or victory by 1,000 niches for a power softing.
I want to shift gears to one last strategy before we wrap up. We've talked about evergreen content stuff that stays up forever. But what about speed? I'm looking at a PowerSoft's latest news section. A Power Unlock was released August 19th, 2019. A PowerSoft PDF editor for Mac, January 15, 2020.
It feels a bit like a time capsule, doesn't it?
It does. It reads like standard press releases. But the Auto Content API talks about real-time marketing and newsjacking.
This is the difference between company news and industry news. Nobody cares about your company news. They care about what's happening in their world. The API integrates with feeds from ex-formerly Twitter and Reddit. It allows for social listening.
So how would this work for a PowerSoft? Give me a scenario.
Okay. Let's imagine a scenario. The API is monitoring Reddit. It detects a sudden spike in a topic. Remote work security. People are freaking out about a new vulnerability or a data leak.
Okay, so the system sees the red flashing light.
It immediately triggers a deep research agent to analyze that trend. Then it automatically generates a script, maybe a TikTok script or a podcast segment, explaining how a Power Mirror or Light PDF help secure remote work data.
And how fast does this happen?
Minutes. That is the key. In a traditional company, you'd notice the trend, schedule a meeting, write a brief, approve the brief, film the video, and 2 weeks later, you publish it.
By which time the trend is dead.
Exactly. With the API, the content is generated while the topic is still viral.
That's newsjacking.
Yeah.
You're riding the wave of public interest.
It's moving from reactive to proactive. You aren't just selling software. You're participating in the cultural conversation as it happens.
So what does this all mean? If we step back and look at the synthesis of this simulation, we're seeing a PowerSoft move from being a software company that has a blog to something else entirely.
They become a multimedia broadcaster. That is the fundamental shift. They dominate text, audio, and video channels by automating the heavy lifting.
It feels like we're seeing the end of linear production.
We are. The old model was one person creates one asset. It's linear. The new model, the API-first model, is parallel production. One input, a PDF, a URL, a trend, creates many assets across many platforms simultaneously.
It's exciting, but I have to admit, it's also a little daunting.
It raises an important question about value.
Go on.
If the cost of production drops to near zero, if anyone can generate a video or a podcast for pennies, then the production value itself is no longer the competitive advantage. You can't win just by having a video because everyone will have a video.
So what's left? If the container is free, what matters?
The quality of the source ideas. The blueprint. If the machine can build the car for free, the only value left is in the design of the engine. For a PowerSoft, their software is the value, their knowledge the value, the content is just the vehicle.
But for companies without a core product or original insight,
they might just be generating noise. If you put garbage into the machine, you just get high-definition garbage out.
That is a thought to chew on. The machine builds the car, but you still have to drive it.
Precisely.
Well, that brings us to the end of this deep dive. A fascinating look at how a PowerSoft could theoretically supercharge their entire operation with the Auto Content API.
A glimpse into the future of the automated enterprise.
Thanks for listening, everyone. We'll catch you on the next one.
Goodbye.